Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. Is this too bright, this window? How about here? Maybe that's better. So welcome back to my channel once again. Just saying how the Battle of Bakhmut is raging on. It's been going on for a couple of months now, and Russia is winning. So Russia will take taken the whole of the town of Bakhmut within a week, I estimate. The Ukrainian army is evacuating Ukrainian civilians, I think forcibly in some cases, because withdrawal is imminent. But this is rather a Pyrrhic victory. Russia is concentrating this for political rationale. It's not actually that militarily important, because yes, there are railroads and railway lines that go through it. You can easily blow up the railway line, blow up the bridges and tunnels, much better idea because they're harder to pair. You can blow up the road and things like that. But anyway, they've invested so much in this, they've got to win it. That's what the Ruskies reason. It's going to be another victory of Pyrrhos. So Wagner Group is fighting there a lot. There's a Wagner private military company, which is a mercenary outfit, which goes back to 2014, headed by Yevgeny Prigozhin, Putin's chef, a fellow St. Petersburg man, Prigozhin, who until late last year lied and lied and lied for years, disclaiming any responsibility for Wagner, any connection whatsoever, bragging, yes, he is the head of Wagner. So that's what Putinism is like, incessant, shameless lying, no matter how irrefragable the probative evidence to the contrary, and then boasting that what other people were accusing of was actually true all along. Prigozhin's the man who had somebody beaten to death with a sledgehammer and proudly published the videos, which he now denies actually happened. So is that sort of level of insane dishonesty we're dealing with? So Wagner's becoming a bit of a rival to the Russian army, and on social media, Prigozhin is saying is that his units that are going forward. So Wagner used to be fairly elite, quite selective, taking any people who had 10 years of military experience, mostly in the Russian armed forces, sometimes the Belarusian armed forces, Serbian armed forces, from elsewhere. But now they take people with little or no military experience. They're taking people who've been pressured to sign up in order to get released from prison, supposedly after 6 months military service. They haven't so far been able to call up women. They want to be able to call up women. And some people who are guest workers in Russia, from Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, elsewhere, people from Zambia and the Ivory Coast and so on, have also joined Wagner Group, whether willingly or not, I'm unsure. So Wagner Group doesn't value the lives of its troops, send them forward in droves to get killed, just human wave attacks. But is there a method to this madness, just stopping bullets? Maybe think of the film Zulu, when the Zulu commander has his troops stand there banging their shields with their spears, as in drawing fire, so you can count their guns, gauge their firepower. Isn't this rather a waste of human life? There is partly so that it's a diversionary attack. They're a decoy and then you go. But also, when the Ukrainians open fire, respond in some way, you work out exactly where their positions are and the real attack can go ahead. They usually do this in the Second World War. The Soviets having men in dark clothing running across the snow, so they obviously stood out, and they'd be sitting ducks for German fire, where men in snow camouflage uniforms would attack from a different direction later on. But anyway, so the hamlet of Krasnohora was supposedly taken by Wagner Group on the 12th of February, something I don't find difficult to believe. So that's why they're closing in. Remember, 24th of February will mark precisely 1 year since Putin began his illegal, unprovoked aggression on a full scale. Of course, in a sense, this war goes way back to 2014, but there's a full-scale war. Oh, sorry, special military operation. Even Putin slipped out the word war late last year. Even the Russians grudgingly say that the resistance of the Ukrainians is ferocious, and they suffered very heavy casualties, the Russians. But Zelensky said the situation in Bakhmut is difficult for the Ukrainians. Now, the Ukrainians are claiming they're inflicting over 800 casualties a day on the Russians for over the past fortnight. Now, you've got to take this with a pinch of salt. There'll be a bit of wartime propaganda. They'll be inflating the enemy casualty figures, underreporting their own. What if it's 700 or 600 or even 400? I mean, that's still quite bad. You reckon for every one killed, there are three wounded. There are very few captured because, of course, it's the Russians, the ones that are moving forward, even though they're going forward at a snail's pace. And say, what's our great advantage? numbers. We outnumber the Ukrainians 3.5 to 1, a prison population over 550,000, and they've conscripted about 50,000 from the prisons. They can afford to be fairly selective. Some of those they could still conscript, but others are real dregs, are just physically wrecked, or are just so dangerous you wouldn't want to put a gun in his hands to be a danger to his own side. But no doubt that they will call up more, just empty them and just use them as chaff, cannon fodder. Well, in Russian they call it meat, actually. You know, these soldiers whose lives you don't care about are simply going to throw away. But there'll be a big offensive, no doubt, about the 24th of February. And Putin wants to have a speech to mark Defenders of the Fatherland Day, which of course marks the day in 1918 when there was a first call up for the Red Army during the Russian Civil War. And Russia reprises its old tactic of attacking civilians again, hitting civilian infrastructure on the 11th of February with scores of missiles and hundreds of rounds of artillery. And that did cause a bit of a problem, something they hadn't tried for about a month. But it's clearly failed. You think they might have learned that one now. If they concentrate all that fire on Ukrainian military positions, that it might work better for the Russians. And yes, they sometimes have taken out up to 40% of the Ukrainian energy infrastructure. Much of it has been repaired. They're getting better at doing that, doing it faster. Winter is coming to an end. In a month, they won't really need heating. So it's just an annoyance. But they're really just that spiteful. They're so vicious. They've done that even when it's a waste of ammunition, even when it's actually helped the Ukrainians win. If they concentrated all their firepower on the Ukrainian military, the Russians would have done rather better. So no doubt towards the 24th of February, there'll be more attacks. I think there probably will be attack in the north towards Kyiv. I think they'll take Kyiv and they don't actually intend to. It's just diversionary because the buildup of forces in Belarus is nowhere near enough to be able to take Kyiv. They weren't able to take it a year ago. They're certainly not able to take it now, but it'll be a bit of a decoy for wherever the main thrust is. I think maybe the lesson they've learned from last year is they can't attack upon multiple axes of advance. It has to be one. And that's probably the one in Bakhmut, you know, Luhansk district. There may be, smaller diversionary attacks in other regions around Zaporizhia and so forth. So the war is going to go on for a year and a half. Obviously, Putin wants to make significant headway before these Western tanks arrive. And if people start, if Western countries decide to provide the Ukrainians with the jets, and I think they should, it's going to take at least several months to train them on those. So look at Russia. A year from now, what's going to happen? Ukraine will have hundreds of Western tanks, which are worth two or three of the Russian tanks, and it may have dozens of Western jets. So the situation is going to get harder for the Ruskies. The economy is going to continue to shrink and probably start contracting at a faster speed. Russia's not going to be able to sell so much oil and gas, even if Western countries are willing to buy it. The European Union has reduced its dependency on Russian oil and gas significantly. Thanks for watching. Goodbye. Hello?